Well, it's a dynamic duo, we'll be back again. Nothing back with DJ, you better pack it in. You're lacking sense, trying to tangle with us. Go with the big black boogies in the back of the bus. Just smacking you up, and stealing your lunch money. You're such a buddy, if you look just a touch. Only by the end of the day, that's understandable. What can I say, you got a strong man to be.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
It was a pretty bad draft period, but it just feels like there's, you know, like someone's about to push the domino that's going to start an even crazier trade period.
Yeah, so the biggest trade obviously was leading up to the draft was the Lakers taking Russell Westbrook and Russell Westbrook's ridiculous contract off the hands of the Wizards in return for a bunch of dudes they had hanging around, KCP, Kuz, and Harrell, I think it was, wasn't it?
I think Zach Lowe summed up the frustration perfectly. He's like, you know, there's a whole heap of people that are going, look at these two cuts that Westbrook made in, you know, 2007, where, you know, he cut off Durant and did these baseline dunks. You know, maybe he'll cut really hard off LeBron. It's like, yeah, and then there's 9 years of him just standing around when he doesn't have the ball.
Yeah, but I mean, he was genuinely good for that Wizards team that made that late run last year. So he's still got something left. It doesn't work at all with AD and LeBron the way you would expect it to be drawn up. But that's what they pay Frank Vogel that not very much, very large amount of money for.
Yeah, I don't know whether you want the highest usage guy in the NBA when you've got LeBron and AD, but okay.
He's not going to be the highest usage guy in the NBA, is he?
No, probably not.
Vogel just signed somebody who was really quite handy for his assistant staff. I can't remember who it was, but
signed one of the guys, one of Brad Stevens' guys. I know that.
Yeah, Scott Brooks is at Portland. He's going to try and
interesting
cover up for Chauncey Billups' complete lack of ability to coach. And yeah, I don't even want to talk about that guy. Yay, the Blazers. The Blazers still, I mean, the Blazers do seem to be one of the lead destinations in the planned, the inevitable Ben Simmons trade. But I think that's the kind of thing you're talking about. There's some big dominoes in the works. It feels like Simmons is more likely to go than Beal now, because Beal, it looks like, you know, moving Westbrook on and it's more about the Wizards planning to build around Beal now. Whereas Simmons is definitely gone. I mean, the way that team... You can't be talked about like that by your team and then stay.
No.
It never comes
back. No, there's been a couple of interesting ones that would actually be good for both teams, like him to the Pelicans for Ingram and Bitts. Because... like, what do you want next to Zion? You want someone that's just this multi-positional defender that can do shitloads of the work and then run the ball down the other end of the thing and pop it to Zion, rumbling to the rim in the open court. I actually don't mind that. I think that's a much better fit than Embiid and Simmons are.
Simmons' one great demonstrable skill is creating threes for other people. I think the Nopes issue is that they don't have anybody to take those threes. So I think they have to address that issue first.
The draft was really interesting in that, like, this was my Ayton argument, right, which is you don't take a big guy in the top 15 unless he's going to be Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid. And Ayton might get to that level. But my general argument was you don't take a big guy in the first 15 unless you're absolutely positive he's going to be a all-time sort of guy. And this year seemed to be the year where everyone got it. Like, even the guys that had sort of mocked in the top 10 that were centers still slipped, you know. Yeah. It was like, we'll take a flyer on a wing that might turn into – a good wing, because a good wing is just so much more valuable than a good big guy. And then after the draft, everyone basically threw draft picks to get off $8 and $9 million centers, like Favors got moved. One of the Lopez brothers got moved for a draft pick. Like, people were, you know, slinging first and second round picks just to get off their second and third centers.
I think, oh, we said this before, and it's even more so now, but the NBA center is the NFL running back. Most of them are interchangeable and can be found for very cheap value. The very, very good ones, though, bend your offense and opposition defenses completely, and they are some of the best players in the fucking league. I mean, Derrick Henry at the Tennessee Titans, for example. He is the basis of their offense. He's the reason they're a really good football team, because he is an absolutely transcendental running back. But below that level, they're all interchangeable, and you absolutely shouldn't spend high end draft capital on them, because you could probably pick somebody up at 18 or 24 or 56 that will do the job.
Yeah.
Or off the veteran market, which is where the Warriors have said that they're going to look for some reinforcement after pulling in Kuminga and who was the other very highly thought of bloke they got.
Yeah, they got two. Was it Moody?
Yeah, the guy that Perkins couldn't pronounce.
Yeah.
Moses, Moody.
When you look at Moody.
I don't know if you saw the jump tweet about, you know, Perk and someone else are going to, you know, tell us who the winners and losers are. And I said, yeah, Perk gave Real Madrid the win.
Yeah.
Because that's about his level of knowledge of the NBA.
He wouldn't know what Real Madrid. He wouldn't know. Real Madrid? Who the fuck is Real Madrid? I don't know. I made him into a world character from a blaxploitation movie, which is not appropriate. But he would work really well. I've seen him dressed like that before, so dressing like an absolute bit. But yeah, I mean, I heard the theory floated that the Dubs didn't pick for fit at all. They just picked for the highest value player that they could then trade, because as I think we've said before, a pick is more valuable than the player you pick with it, because then you've taken away the there's kind of a sticker shock. It's a little bit, I've heard this before from other people, but it's a bit like when you're buying a new car. The new car loses quite a bit of value when you drive it. Yeah. You drive it out of the dealership. And it's a bit like that with a pick. As soon as you make the pick, it no longer has the same value because you take away the agency of the front office that would trade for the pick, and they value that agency because they think they're smarter than you.
It's very, very rare for a top 10 pick to gain value. The guys that seem to gain value are the sort of 10 to 30 picks, like your Jokic's and your Rudy Gobert's that weren't top picks, that all of a sudden, like, holy shit, this guy is much better than we thought he was.
Yes. And when only one team thinks you're worthy of let's for argument's sake, say going sixth, that's going to be a bit of a worry for future. A little bit like when Dante Exum went. Did he go fourth or sixth? I think he went fourth. And yes, I have concerns about Josh Giddey to OKC at six.
Oh no, I don't at all. I understand your skepticism.
Well, my concern is that OKC are effectively running the same process bullshit as the Sixers, just without the fucking ESPN cover stories. The same commitment to playing terrible basketball and losing a whole lot of games. And the good people they've got are not necessarily on the same timeline. I mean, SGA is a genuine star, but he's not going to be on the same timeline as the guys that they draft with the talent they're going to pick up. And I don't think Presti ever has the intention of producing a good basketball team.
Yeah, see, I disagree. And I guess we'll see if SGA gets a 5-year extension, right? Because if SGA gets a 5-year extension and one of Poku,
you give him that anyway to trade him. Whether you're going to keep him or not.
You probably get more trade value for him now, I think.
Hasn't played for a bit, though.
Yeah, I realise that. I just like that he was out there in trade things, and I think if that was Presti's, you know, just endlessly, you know, trade picks for picks and never actually do anything, I think SGA would already be gone. I think they would have tried to get something.
I feel like he's going to go, because he's going to be he's not on the same timeline as the Giddey generation that's going to come through. He's going to be a good 4 years older than them.
But that's the thing. If you don't need everyone on the same, you know, you've got Chris Paul and Booker. They're not on the same timeline. If you've got SGA,
but that's
and
different
one of-
because he was brought in as basically a consultant. Yeah, yeah. He was brought in. You know, it's more an issue when you've got, SGA will be at his absolute peak at 28, for argument's sake. Mm. And he might not have a team around him. I think it's the sort of team where you never really feel that comfortable. I think he can expect to have been shipped out for something else at some stage. But the SGA's already been the make weight in or the key player going the other way in a big trade. So you better get used to it.
I reckon what OKC do is if they get someone that pops so that they've got two good guys and some pieces, then you'll start seeing those draft picks turn into, okay, well, we need this complementary piece to fill in the gaps. Like that's the thing with Presti. He's got so much firepower at his disposal. He can really, you know, like if he needs to go out and get a Drew Holiday type player, for instance, like if there's someone out there on the market, he can just outbid everyone.
Yeah, but you don't go for a Drew Holiday type piece unless you're one player away from winning something. Mm-hmm. They are one player away from winning 15 games.
Yeah. They've only missed the finals once in the last 15 years.
Yes, but they most of that time they had Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul. Now they have nobody of any description. And they are clear. They are trying very hard to lose. I mean, they told Al Horford to take the year off very early in the year. They're not here to win, and they're not going to be here to win this year either. They're just not.
You really realize they've still got some pretty good. They've still got Kemba Walker. They've still got Derek Favors. They
Kemba
actually
Walker's
have
washed, man. I mean, they couldn't get him out of Celticville fast enough. His knee's fucked, man. He's done.
That is the other thing that they're very good at is rehabilitating player value, I guess.
Al Horford, they got value for Al Horford money because the Celtics were so desperate for him. They didn't do anything to rehabilitate his value because he didn't play for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Chris Paul, but a lot of that was just Chris Paul just saying, you know, fuck you, I'm not being sent out to OKC. And being left out to die here, I'm going to do something here, despite it being the absolute opposite of what the team wanted. There's two big problems I have with it. One is that we've seen what happens when teams just hoard draft picks and then don't pull the trigger. Danny Ainge, what's Danny Ainge doing right now? Tell you what he's not doing, the job he used to do when he was hoarding all those fucking draft picks. And the other problem is, can you remember who the coach of OKC is?
No, he was their development guy.
What's his name, Beezer?
No, no idea.
I can't remember either.
But do you reckon we're
putting a lot of player development faith in a guy we can't remember the fucking name of because they're that forgettable.
Yeah, I wonder how many people knew who Nick Nurse was though when he first took that job.
I'd heard of Nick Nurse.
Yeah. I think because of what's happened to Ainge, right, because of what's happened to the Celtics, Presti knows that. Presti knows that he's got to pull the trigger sometime.
Yeah, but in OKC, you can get away with it. I mean, that's the reason they can get away with running kind of a hybrid Boston hoarding all the picks Sixers process thing is because nobody's fucking paying any attention to them down in OKC. But that's why I worry for somebody like Josh Giddey going into that circumstance because in that Sixers process life, there are a lot of dudes who just got chewed up and spat out, and I really fear for the fact for his development because he could just be yet another one of these dudes who's just been brought in for value, you know, as an asset, and he might not get the opportunity to be great.
I'm a little bit more hopeful. I think they tried to. It sounded like they tried to pull the trigger this year. It sounded like they were shopping packages of picks for one of those top three picks. But everyone seems to think the top three this year are pretty solid, and all of those three teams
and they're a level above everyone else.
Those top three teams couldn't really afford the narrative of trading down.
You were accidentally talking about draft pricks before, and I think the draft pricks will always tell you, oh, you know, there's a massive step down. The top guys in the league, and they're all great. Yeah. They're going to be the greatest players ever, and this is the next LeBron, and this is the next Bill Russell, and this is the next fucking Kyle Kuzma.
You know? The history of top three picks actually winning you a championship is pretty shaky.
Well, since the days when you'd have like your Jordans and so forth, it's been a while.
Well, LeBron and AD are both high draft picks, but Steph's not a top three draft pick.
No,
Durant
was.
You know, Durant was, I guess.
Kawhi wasn't. He went number two to Greg Oden.
Well, Kawhi wasn't. Giannis wasn't.
No.
Like even if the Suns had won. Booker wasn't a top three pick.
No, but Ayton was.
Oh, come on, Ayton's not winning them that series. I know, but, he's not even. He's the third. He's the third best player in that team.
Where did Chris Paul go? I thought he was a top three draft pick.
Four, I think. I think he was four.
That fits because that's why he's so fucking chippy.
Yeah, that exactly right.
That must have been a good.
And
draft.
I don't think anyone from his draft is still playing in the league.
No,
which I
heard. Because they'd be older than fucking dirt.
Dear. Are the Knicks going to end up with DeMar DeRozan and Dennis Schroeder with all that cap space?
Oh, probably. I mean, it would be very Knicksian.
Like, I just love the stories, you know, the Knicks are hoarding cap space. And I'm like, that's the worst possible thing that could ever happen. You can't give them that sort of responsibility.
Well, the thing is that's all they can do, though. I mean, what other options do they have?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Because if you don't spend cap space, you end up hoarding it. I mean, you end up with a whole lot of capacity to hire people who don't want to come and work for you.
Yeah. Evidently, the Spurs have been shopping several different packages to Philly to try and get Simmons, which is like a smart move. Like, that's the sort of team that should be trying to get Simmons, someone that's just, unless you absolutely luck out in the draft, you're not going to get someone like that for 4 years.
Yeah.
And even if he doesn't like San Antonio, you've got him for 4 years. And I would not be surprised if they made a move like that, Pop would immediately retire and they'd start, you know, the Becky Hammon.
You get a lot of faith in these people thinking that, you know, Becky Hammond's going to be the one. I mean, what I worry about Becky is that she's been said no to in a lot of job interviews recently. She might not be as good as we hope that she is.
Or the...
Mind you, one of those pathways was the Blazers, and the Blazers clearly don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I was going to say, maybe the NBA is not quite as woke as we think it is.
I don't think it's the wokeness. I think it's. I mean, while Becky Hammond has been a lead assistant on that Spurs team have been fucking terrible. So it's not like it's not like you can point to it and go, look, I've made them fantastic. Hire me.
Yeah. The Spurs team is full of fourth options. That's their biggest problem.
Well, San Antonio itself is a fourth option.
Even DeRozan, like if he goes to another side, if he wants to win a ring, he's going to win a ring as a third or fourth option, not as a first or second.
He was the guy they moved out of Toronto so they could win.
Yep. I don't know. What else did we learn from the draft? Anything interesting?
Well, I was going to say that not the draft, but with Steve Adams has got yet another new location.
Yeah.
Shipped out of the Pelicans in order to... I was odd that the Grizzlies decided to get off Valanciunas because he was so important to their...
But he's got to get paid at the end of this year.
Yeah. But Steve Adams is already getting paid. That's kind of the issue.
Yeah, but I think you'll come off his money about the same time you're going to have to pay some of those young guys at the Grizzlies. Yeah. I think it works out a little bit better, whereas if you have to pay Valanciunas, then it might limit some of the moves you can... make with those young guys that are developing, because there's like four, there's sort of four or five guys that are in that who's the guy from Phoenix, Bridges, in that Bridges mold, where, you know, they're sort of better than what everyone thought they were going to be. You know, they're not going to be the first option, but they're going to be a really good third option or a really good second option. So I guess they sort of want to make sure that they don't have to trade one of those guys away just to fit it all in.
And the real aim of the exercise with the Grizz was to trade up. They seemed very keen on where they think they traded up into the top 10, take Zaire Williams, who I don't know anything about, because it's fucking underage basketball. I mean, I have no fucking idea about any of these players.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still definitely reading everything and watching everything. Even the G League guys, there's still such a college bias to the coverage.
Because when you see people every day or every week, then the people have got a bias in favour of them, and it's kind of familiarity. Yeah. And of course, a lot of these people are paid by media organisations that have the rights to college basketball, and they're never going to say, you know, maybe the Australian NBL is a better place to trade to bring people up. But I mean, that was Kuminga was thought of really well, and he was one of those G League Ignite guys. He's the guy the Warriors went for.
Who was it? Jarrett Jack, who played with that Ignite team and was evidently just absolutely raving about Green, and then was asked about Kuminga and went, oh, yeah, Yeah, he's tall. He's got a good wingspan. he wears basketball shoes.
There's a bit of.
Pretty sure he puts them on the right foot.
There might be a little bit of.
No, no.
There might be a little bit of country of origin bias involved in that, I suspect.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's definitely that sort of not US racism happening in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. So Green is the guy who the Rockets went to, so he'll never be heard of again. Cunningham was the high profile. He was the guy who'd been, you know, this time last year they were talking about him as being the number one pick in this draft. So it's not that surprising that, you know, the draft military industrial complex was going to see that he went first anyway. So
yeah,
and of course part of that draft military industrial complex is the civil war between Shams and Woj. And Woj tried to win it by tipping the number one pick a full 8 hours before the draft. And including a promotion for the draft in his tweet, and then he proceeded. And I don't think that went that well because for the rest of the draft, he got cooked. He was always a little bit behind, and he kept having to do that kind of such and such a team are thinking about this player at this position,
or have him on the top of their draft board.
Have lasered in on a targeting. Yeah. Are delighted to delighted to see that this player is still available. Kind of absolute shit. Whereas Shams is just banging out like, sources, Pistons number one, Cade Cunningham sources, 27 Nets, Cameron Thomas. It's so pathetic and petty, but because of the way that Woj basically runs the basketball department at ESPN, it's nice to see him fail sometimes.
Hey, we played at the depths of Ipswich this morning for Curtis's football game, and I put the
all of Ipswich Matildas is the depths of Ipswich.
Put the Matildas game on for him to watch on the way there, you know, as a bit of inspiration and to get his head in the right space. So he's watched the first
and to learn
half.
New swear words. Oh, hopefully they don't have a Twitter live stream replay alongside the game.
You watched the first half.
I may have kicked off a little bit. I discovered I'm still Australian. It's a lot of when it comes to beating England. I discovered I'm still Australian, and it is England. Oh. It's not Great Britain. It's just England and a bunch of countries they took prisoner.
And it's, you know, the women's national sides you feel a bit happier supporting them. I don't know exactly why, but I just do. I feel a lot more patriotic with you know, the women's T20 side, the women's football side. But anyway, so we're coming home and there's about 10 minutes left in the second half and England are up. And I said, oh, you know, go and have some lunch and you can watch the rest later. And he's like, oh, no, it looks like England are going to win. I think that I've seen enough. And I'm like, you might want to watch the end of that game, mate. And he's like, what's that? I'm like, no, just no reason. You just might want to watch the end of that game. So I'm looking forward to dinner time when we sit down and put the rest of that game on to see his reaction to.
Oh, but you should show him the tweet from the BBC at 89 minutes. Just as yes. Ellen White looks like firing Team GB past Australia into the semifinals.
Yeah.
That was a lot
of
suddenly the on stunt
one.
Goes horribly wrong.
Ah, dear.
Delightful, delightful. Of course, the Australian men's team, after playing lovely football against Argentina, were kind of shit in their second two the subsequent games, lost to Egypt and are out. So Graham Arnold's now getting huge amounts of shit thrown at him, much as is Ange Postecoglou over in Europe because Celtic bombed out of the Champions League qualifiers.
So the Women's Olympics, is it the same format?
No, I don't 23. Think it's not. I don't think it's age grouped.
It's just a straight national
side.
No,
it's not age grouped. Because they don't have enough major women's tournaments to make it. I mean, it's changing now, and there might be an argument made in the future for it to be age grouped. But no, it's full. It's full international teams.
If the US lose the basketball in this Olympics,
fuck the basketball. I want the US to lose the US women to lose because they're much more dominant than the US basketball team, and they're fucking punishing, and they're. Yeah.
And the fact that they stopped some of their ex-players going and playing for Nigeria is just bullshit, man. Absolute bullshit.
No, that's the basketball team.
The women's. Oh, you mean the football side, not the basketball side.
The US Wint.
But they've actually got a chance of not winning, don't they? They're not that much dominant in women's
soccer,
are they?
They have been forever, but they only just squeaked through against the Dutch with a... on penalties overnight. All the quarterfinals happened overnight, which will be probably two nights ago by the time we hear this.
So who are the semis?
So Australia-Sweden, which is a game that's already happened, I think, in terms of thinking that happened in the first round. And it's...
Sweden beat New Zealand. Yeah. I watched that game.
And the USA versus Canada.
Fair enough.
I think the men's quarters must be on tonight. I haven't looked at the schedule. I understand it's the same situation with seven, but the Sky Olympic app is a bucket of shit. But
there is actually the
browser version is so much better. Like olympics.sky.co.nz, I think it is. That matches probably a seven version.
Right.
It just does the same job so much better. Because the problem with an app is any app, you want to be able to Chromecast it or Apple TV it. And I think that's where it kept falling over at that stage.
Yeah, it's been just baffling. Like, there'll be something on that, you know, is obviously a highlight of the day, and you go to the app and it's like 15 fucking searches deep before you can actually find the highlight.
Yeah, but also seven have been absolutely shitting the bed as usual with their obsession with flipping from thing to thing and showing people all kinds of crap
on the terrestrial TV. And the other thing
is, you enjoying this game? Good. Now we're going to switch to the rhythmic gymnastics.
The other thing with the app is you don't seem to get the Channel 7 commentary.
No, you get the world feed.
Yeah, which is like, I was watching the basketball.
You can avoid Brenton Speed because he's a fucking clown act.
Thinking that I'm going to get Bogey calling the basketball and I'm getting it's an announcer I know from League Pass, you know, that I've heard on League Pass somewhere, who is very, very good and obviously knows all the international players from the NBA. But he's very dry, and I'm like, oh, this is much more enjoyable than I expected it to be.
And the problem is that you end up being, you know, 30 seconds to a minute behind everybody. That's the funny thing about watching that Matildas game last night. I was watching on a stream, but it was a stream that was quicker than other people's streams. So I was behind the people who were watching on free-to-air, but ahead of the people. So when someone would tweet a reaction to something, I wouldn't be sure whether they were tweeting a reaction to something I'd already seen or something that was about to happen. There's nothing happening, and then suddenly you see Sam Kerr! You think, oh, this could we could be having a good time in about 30 seconds.
30 seconds, yeah. I can see why the US NBA players are not enjoying the Olympics, though, because it's not like the NBA.
No.
It's like watching the
rules
the guards,
are so much better in FIBA ball, but yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. And watching the guards, like, you go to run a pick and roll and you can actually guard the guard. You know, it's just all of a sudden there's not as much space there as you thought there was. But I think the Boomers are cooked. Their whole offense, like their defense is awesome and really on key, and everyone moves together and everyone works together, and then they get the ball and it's like, Patty, please save us. And it's like, the dude's 6 foot and 42, like, come on, give him something to work with.
Baines is out for the remainder, isn't he? He's done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder whether they'll bring Giddy in then for some more ball handling.
You know, they haven't used him much.
No, Giddy's an injury replacement. So he's over there, but not in the... They have like a game day squad.
Oh, is
and
that
then they
why
have,
he was in the warm-up games, but not in the...
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
I thought it hadn't been used much. Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So because I was watching that Italy game and I'm like, fuck, who's our other ball handler? Because Delhi's just like all over the shop.
I heard somebody tweet that he might not even be NBL level anymore, which is a little bit rough, but NBL 2 maybe.
Exum's been good, but he's not, like, he's more...
He's been playing himself back into condition because he hasn't played this much basketball in an awful long time. He visibly looks fat and out of shape and out of breath as well. So he's been kind of throwing himself into it, trying to get his win back, essentially.
But you can. The other thing that's been interesting is just why you can understand why Jokic is just unplayable. Because
speaking
like
of fat Mill, shape.
Mill stands at the top of the key, and there's all these pieces cutting and moving around him, and everything looks really good. But he's got to lob the ball over the 6'8" guy standing in front of him. And you just think, I just have that image of Jokic when Gordon cut to the basket and Jokic is just like holding the ball up in one hand and like, you know, 2 foot above the defender, motioning for Gordon to cut. And then as soon as he cuts, he just like lobs the ball over to the corner.
Like a dad holding the ball away from his kid.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, come get it, damn it. You come or a vindictive older brother. It's amazing to think that Serbian team didn't fucking make it. You think of the players on that Serbian team, and we referenced it the other week. We said, look, they have seven NBA starters in their team. They're not here. So it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is the rest of the world is...
I think Slovenia is going to win this. I think Slovenia will beat the USA. That same... It's the guts of the team that won Eurobasket. It's fucking... Yeah.
And that's the... It's a little bit like the continuity in the NBA, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like those guys all know each other. Even though they only play together once every couple of years, they all know each other. They all know who the fucking... Where the hierarchy and the pecking order is.
And a little bit like in international football, you can, if you're, there's a lot more mediocre teams. So if you've got a mediocre but well-drilled and well-organized team with one absolute transcendental fucking superstar, you can just get on that dude's back and they'll carry you. Or, or with Sam Kerr, you can get on her back and she'll fucking carry you.
Yeah.
To Alana Kennedy and the other goal scorers in that game, but,
That first goal in extra time, that was fucking... That was beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
Just that reverse touch. Oh, so nice. All right. You got any other Olympics takes? Any other sporting takes?
Well, most of my sports are done. We just got the football and the basketball, and then we stuck with the boring running shit and the swimming shit. And look, as I say, I only watch sports that I'm actually interested in. I'm not gonna be a fucking sports tourist and watch a whole bunch of shit that I never would watch on the reg. So,
yeah, I've enjoyed the weightlifting this time because that's what I've been doing at training. So
try to make yourself huge.
Watching less than 44 kilo women do stuff at like four times the weight that
I'm doing is just you amazing. Working through your kink, isn't it? This is just some sort of weird fetish. You want to be bench pressed by some flyweight Filipino woman.
I'm quite into the middle distance running with Curtis because that's his jam. So.
I can't imagine too many things that would be less interesting to watch. But then again, I watch a lot of road cycling stages. So at least you get scenery, though. They've got the Tour de Lyonnais on at the moment.
You watch lots of motorsport where they just go round and round and round.
Yes, but they go faster and they go faster and they make noise.
Yes.
Whereas people running just look like they're late for a bus.
All right,
I did see one sad stat because we got like this year there's like 13 black coaches in the NBA, which is pretty good. That's that's a good number. Guess how many black coaches there are in Europe's top five football leagues?
Two.
One. It's Patrick Vieira, and he's just got the gig at Crystal Palace, and he probably shouldn't have because his coaching career so far has been shit. So it could well have been zero.
Yeah.
And it's not as though football is a sport that doesn't have – obviously the NBA has a higher proportion of black players in it than say, international football. But it's not to that level.
Mm. Yep.
Anyway, that's your big number. That's your stat of the day. football is racist. And on that bombshell –
let's wrap her up. See ya.
We'll talk to you next week.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
I think the ABC are bringing out a show, I'm Sorry You're Racist or something like that. And I'm like, you guys gave
what? It's not going to be a newsy panel show where comedians try and be funny.
You guys gave what's his name the comedian that tried to be a bloody Samoan schoolgirl or something.
Oh, fucking Chris Lilly. That cunt! Chris Lilly, like gotta hate him.
Giving him like five contracts. I'm like, maybe you should.
Yeah, maybe it's the writers trying to send a message to staff. It's like.
That's right.
Stop paying Chris Lilly to do brownface. That's fucked.
Because
I heard Will Anderson talking about this new one, revolutionary idea that he has for this show that's coming out, and it turns out to be panel show with comedians talking about news and fake news and made up stuff. And I'm pretty sure there's a show called Will I Lie to You, which is literally comedians lying and trying to get away with it. And I know that's not what Will Anderson's show is, but I hope it seems to be employing all of the same group of Australian comedy writers who everybody follows on Twitter. So I'm glad those people, your Beck Shaws and your fucking James Collies and all those sorts of people. I'm glad those people can fucking, keep the lights on.
Have you been watching Taskmaster New Zealand?
I haven't, but I listen to Guy Montgomery and Tim Batts' podcast, so I've heard they've been talking about it a lot. I don't watch too much television that doesn't involve sport.
The British one is just fucking, and it really appeals to me because it's all about, like, it's funny.
Isn't Rose Mutafeo on that, or the New Zealand comedian? Yes.
She was awesome.
She is awesome. She's pretty cool. She used to have a really good podcast with Alice Steddon, who's another New Zealand comedian, comedy writer, called Boners of the Heart, where they would just talk about their inappropriate celebrity crushes, and it was just ridiculously funny. But it's kind of on hiatus because they're too busy writing for Rose's various highly successful projects at the moment, like a TV show and movies and stuff.
It's all sort of like divergent thinking. So, they give you the task, and the task is like, the only things that are the rules are what is written on the bit of paper. So if you can sort of out-interpret things, so like there was one where it was hit a cricket ball, that the least amount of times it took to hit a cricket ball with a golf club into the hole. And so one guy's gone, well, there's nothing in this that says I can't move the hole. So he gets a shovel, digs the hole up.
Digs around the hole, yeah.
Yeah, around the hole, under the hole, lifts the whole hole up, moves the hole to where the cricket ball is, and then
just taps
the cricket ball into the hole. And
just
they're like,
tap it in. Just give it a little tappy, tappy, tappy.
That's nothing in the rules that said you couldn't move the hole.
This is the Air Bud of challenge shows. There's nothing in the rules that says a dog can't play basketball.
But some of the shit that they do is just, and obviously they're getting some pretty clever and funny people doing it. You got your Lee Max and your James Acasters and stuff like that. You're going to get some wild shit. But
It's one of those things that I go, oh, that'd be good to watch. I have no time to get to that. So because of all the other really important things I need to do, like watch the last 70 kilometers of a fucking random road cycling stage in the middle of France just because I've liked the scenery. It's meditative.
All right,
I need to watch Free Practice 2 from the fucking Hungarian Grand Prix.
Weren't you watching like some random Spanish league, training match or something?
I was watching Bayern Munich playing against Borussia Mönchengladbach in a preseason game.
I don't have time to do all of this.
Yes, but Gladbach got the win, so that's important because fuck Bayern.
Oh, dear.
The worst part is later that day I watched the Bayern Ajax preseason game from a couple of days before. It's wallpaper for when I'm making, doing dinner. Oh, the one thing we didn't talk about was the international incident sparked by that weird thrusting man who was ripping off all your moves on the sideline as an international coach.
I thought you were going to say we didn't talk about my return to the playing sphere.
No, I did. We said you'd popped your calf, and that was the end of that because you're old and cooked.
Feels better today.
Yeah, it was one of those things where you saw the coach of Titmus just giving it enormous ones and, thrusting in the direction of the problem and all that sort of stuff. And you immediately, Australians are going to love the shit out of that. The rest of the world is going to be fucking horrified. Mm. And there are going to be so many think pieces, earnest and otherwise, what was the phrase that woman used? Big-footed her moment and how he looked like an abuser and he looked violent. And it's like people don't really have a lot of context for how the relationship between a swimming coach and a swimmer worked, do you? Yeah. But again, sometimes some of those relationships are not necessarily to be celebrated.
Well, the thing is, the dude's probably, swimming's not a, if you're coaching.
Swimming's not a sport for people who are mentally stable.
Well, it's a lot of hours, right? And he's got a family, and if you're an elite swimming coach, I'd imagine it's not real good on other relationships or, he's just excited. Okay, he went over the top.
Have you ever met a swimming coach who wasn't a fucking head case? Laurie Lawrence. Don Talbot.
Yeah. And yeah, like the 50 articles about, well, you're taking away from her moment. Yeah, well, fucking what about her then, you dickheads? God.
Well, she can't be thrusting at anything because she's in the pool.
Pool. Anyway.
It's much easier to be happier for somebody else, I find. You know, in the moment, you'd probably be overcome by it yourself, but
yeah,
it's much easier to be really happy for other people, which is why it wasn't the Matildas sending all those tweets about, you know, you're going home, England's going home, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So ends the sports edition to the sports edition.